See, I'm playing music for my intros too. Just gonna get some Mountain Dew here while I wait for views. What's going on, guys? Today is January 10th, 2020, and you guys probably recognize the familiar wall of greatness back here, because I'm back home in Florida, making a live video, doing stuff with the intros, because that's apparently what you have to do with podcasts. See, I picked up some things, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, what's going on, guys? If you don't know who I am, my name is Steve. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It's the one and only talk show run by freight brokers, by freight brokers, for freight brokers, or for whoever else chooses to watch. We are back on the original format, if I can get my mouse to work. Excuse me. So the way this show works, if you have a comment, I don't have the phone in line today, but if you have a comment, type it in the chat. I'll see it. I'll interact with it real time. I've got some news, some personal news, and then I've got the news and then the normal show like I normally do. So I drove back to Florida Wednesday night. Wednesday, we got some news over at Freight Waves, and I'm back home. I'm back doing my own thing. I'm super excited about it. I'm super excited to have all the knowledge and met all the great people that I met at Freight Waves as well, and the resources. And I tell you, they kind of screwed up a little bit, because I still have my brand, and now I know how I have to build it in order to be able to be super successful. And I'm launching a 24-hour radio show, which will replay all my podcasts. That's going to be on my website. I'm launching a 24-hour television station. Yeah, you see what I did there? That television station is going to play a repeat of all my previous videos. Plus, it's on demand, all that stuff. I'm going to be launching. This is funny. And the people over there know that I was already planning on doing this stuff before joining Freight Waves. So now it's not a problem if I do it myself. But I'm going to be creating my own broker, it's going to be purely for broker agents, but I guess like a job board for people that are looking to become agents. I'm not going to have trucking companies or anything like that, just because I think there are a lot of companies that are looking for reviews and looking, or a lot of people that are looking to become brokers and would like to just have all the information out there, transparency, what the commission rates are, what kind of products you get and services and all that stuff. So I'm going to be launching that. I already told my wife all weekend I'm going to be redesigning my website and stuff. In terms of why I'm not with Freightwaves, I'm not even going to talk about that. I hold Freightwaves in still super high regard. And they better watch out, because I'm going to come for them. My media side is going to be crazy. I've got now drive to break every news story I possibly can, because it's cool. I see what they're doing. I want to be able to circumvent that. But I also want to make sure that I stay true to who I am. I don't want to be censored. I want to be able to create content that is me, you know, and not, you know, not pretend to be somebody else. So that's that. So I'm going to be moving this whole setup that I have now into our guest room, so it's a little bit more soundproof and better. And this Freight Broker Live is going to be my full-time gig. I'll be writing. I'll be making videos. I have a new podcast that's coming out called Freight's Heavy Hitters. I almost forgot what it was called. And we have two recording, and that's just going to be a one-on-one conversation with an industry professional, or not even just someone that's getting in the industry and talking about their struggles and what they went through and do they like it. It's going to be pretty cool. And I'm very close, to doing all the things I want. you know, I got a bunch of different sponsors going on for the site, so I'm able to do it full time, and I'm super excited about it. But without further ado, I do see the comments. Wayne Campbell, what's up, buddy? We should do a combo show one day. Driver versus broker. I think that would be pretty good. Nate, what's up, buddy? Michael, what's up? Tammy, what's up? All right, so I'm going to get into the news if I can get my mouse to work. Some of this news is stuff you've already heard about, probably. There was a trucker shot and killed on 269. The article I see, they hadn't put that they found the driver. But the reason why I chose to talk about this article is the way they were able to identify the shooter and put pictures out there were because of an inward-facing camera. And I know people hate him. Hell, I would. I would hate it. But for this guy, it at least found the guy that killed him, you know, which is still sad. The victim has been identified as 30-year-old Deontay Stewart of Tennessee. And there's no motive. It looked like he picked up this guy and this guy killed him. It was pretty sad, you know. Convoy, in other news, Convoy launches hassle-free lumber payments to carriers nationwide. Now, as a broker and as a carrier, this is pretty rad. So basically, in their system, now drivers can request lumber EFS codes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's pretty interesting. I don't think anyone has anything automated. I don't even think Uber does. I think it has to be manually triggered for lumber codes. So that's pretty neat. I wonder how they're going to deal with fraud, because you would think that fraud would be rampant with that. Who actually knows, though? You know, there's an article on Business Wire. I'm actually going to write an article on freightbrokerlive.com later about this. Pretty much actually about everything, the six stories I'm talking about today, or five stories, whatever it is. California state court rules AB5 doesn't apply to trucking. Now, that's a pretty big one. I've seen a bunch of different titles and different articles on this. None of them are as blunt as that. California state court rules AB5 doesn't apply to trucking. That's awesome. You know, and I'll read. So Assembly Bill 5 does not apply to the trucking industry in California, according to a ruling handed down Wednesday by the Superior Court of the state of California. Judge William Heiberger concluded that the legislation preempted by the Federal Aviation Administration Authorization Act, or FAAAA, of 1994. According to the documents, the firm representing the defendant in the case, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. It's another step, you know, with the U.S. district judge issuing the TRO. I kind of felt like this was going to happen. I wanted to be able to talk more opinionated about it, because you guys all know I think AB5 is BS, you know, but before I had to be all polished and censored, not give opinion. It's very hard to not give opinion in this industry. And I'm an opinionated guy. That's why I started the whole show, was to talk about opinions. So I'm extremely happy that AB5 is going to disappear, essentially, in the trucking industry. There's still nothing going on with the Ubers and the Postmates and all those other companies. So who knows what's going to happen with those. But as far as these other, you know, the trucking related, it's only trucking. So it doesn't say anything about, you know, broker agents and things like that, which I still think, you know, if you watch my previous videos, you know, I feel that broker agents also fall under the guidelines of independent contractors as defined by AB5 and should be employees. But based on the guidelines, I don't necessarily believe that, you know, hell, I'm an independent agent. I like the independence of it. I'm not a big fan of working for other people and having to conform. I'm an individual. I'm uncensored or whatever. But that's kind of that. What do we got? We got some comments already. Nate said, welcome home, you big, beautiful broker. Yeah, you're funny. Wayne said, we actually have some big things coming in the driver's side. Sweet. And technology is king. So what's this next story? So Anyone remember the lobster story I wrote about a long time ago where a lobster company hired a broker? The broker ended up hiring a carrier. The carrier disappeared with the load of lobster, and then the broker was actually found responsible for the freight because they didn't qualify the carrier, and they actually had a contract with the shipper to carry the freight, but they didn't tell the broker, or they didn't tell the shipper that they were actually a broker and subbing up the freight. Well, here's what happens if you don't have agreements. So a truck carrying 35,000 pounds of copper disappeared. And the title of this article says the truck carrying 35,000 pounds of copper simply disappeared. Who can be sued? Apparently no one. On November 12, 2014, a truck carrying 35,000 pounds of copper left a scrap. I can't even talk. So this driver basically picked up a load in Newark, New Jersey that was supposed to go somewhere to Reading, Pennsylvania. So not even that far, except it never went there. It never made it. Somewhere along the line, the truck, its load worth $100,000, and the driver simply disappeared. The shipper tried to sue the trucking company, tried to sue the broker, WMW Logistics, and tried to claim that, you know, it's a theft. Except a federal court just ruled that because they didn't have an agreement, that nobody can be held responsible for it, which is absurd. It said AMG claimed that Worcester, which was Worcester Motorways, I guess the carrier, and WMW were liable for the shipments lost because they were charged with transporting the copper to Reading. It's crazy. So basically a federal judge said, hey, we're not responsible for, or these trucking companies aren't responsible because you don't have any paperwork that says they are. You know, which I guess is good for the trucking company, but very bad for the shipper who lost $100,000 in copper. So with that said, I need to drink water. I got like cotton mouth like a mother. But see, so yeah, I'm still censoring myself for Susan, wherever she is. And then here's one that I think is just important to mention, except this article doesn't actually say where drivers can go. But Transport Topics has released an article, and I actually saw this yesterday, the original press release, so I'm going to try to find it. But big rigs are wanted for a Massachusetts driver's funeral. So basically, this guy's wife, the guy passed away. He used to drive a truck. He lost his CDL because he had diabetes and had to take insulin. And he always loved being on the road. So he's passed away, and his wife is calling for a fleet of big rigs to drive her beloved late husband into the sunset one last time. She's inviting truck drivers to line up their bobtails, trailers unattached, and accompany her from Somerset to Fall River for the funeral of Charles E. Chuck Jones Jr. on January 15th. It doesn't say where, I mean, but beyond that, it doesn't say where they can meet, but I kind of wish I was up there because I'd go do that, because I think that's it's important. I mean, that's someone. I want the same thing with a firefighter's funeral. You know, I wasn't a firefighter very long, but I want it. You know, and I also want bagpipes at my funeral too. But that's because it's kind of tattooed on me there. So it's a sad story. The woman, you know, traveled across the country with her husband. She had a CDL too. She had to give it up for medical reasons. They love motorcycles. They met up at Laconia during bike week. No, they got married in Laconia during bike week. So if anyone's up in New Hampshire or Massachusetts and Somerset, I'll try to find out and post on social media where it could be, because it doesn't say anything in this article. But if anyone's up there and you want to participate and give this guy his final ride, that would be pretty awesome. Let's read some of these comments here. Technology's big. So again, if anyone has a question about brokering freight, about driving a truck, owning a fleet, don't ask me about leasing trucks or any of that crap, because I don't know it. But you ask me about rates, how to get rates, what kind of truck should buy, you know, anything like that, I'll try to do my best to give an answer. This is an audience participation type group or type of podcast and video. So the more people talk and interact, the longer the video goes. All right, let's see what this says. Victor said, what do you think this year will be for the trucking industry? Thanks. Well, I covered this in one of the other videos when I was part of the other group, and I was reserved. This year for trucking, it's got to be good. It's got to be good. Freight brokers make money no matter what. Even though that we make less revenue, the margins, the margin's the same for a broker. It's not that way for a carrier, clearly. You need to adjust your margins as costs to operate go up or as costs go down, your margin goes up, whatever. I really hope that rates come up soon because it's pretty rough out there. We didn't have a great November and December freight-wise. So that is really something that I hope for. I'm not actually going to be brokering freight anymore. I still own my agency. I have agents they're now employees. I converted them to employees because I wanted to make sure they're taken care of. And, so they're moving freight. If I get new customers, I'm going to pass them on to them. They're a good group of people that are good at what they do. And I trust them. So that's why I'm doing things the way they're doing, the way I'm doing it. My full-time thing is going to be these videos, creating articles and writing and creating all the tech availability that I can. Plus hitting up every single trade show, Mats, Gats, Fats, Cats. I don't know. They should come up with those too. Central American Truck Show. And what would you do F for Fats? Federal American. I don't know. Anyway, I can't read the name, but someone wrote, damn you, Susan, for the swearing. That's true. Ben said, I'm the only local person to pronounce Reading right. Well, that's because I actually lived in New Jersey, and we used to deliver to Reading a lot. So that's why I was able to say it correctly. Shay said, what's up, bud? Welcome back. You owe me 25 deadlifts. I still deadlifted the entire time I'm gone. I'm training now because I'm going to go up to Ohio in June and do the Arnold. And I'm going to rage it. And I'm going to try to go for the national record. That is my goal. Who knows what it's actually going to be like up there. But I'm going to try to get my weight down and all that stuff. Wayne said, see you in Kentucky. Yeah, buddy. I told my wife yesterday I'm going. I'm going to every single one. Every trucking convention I possibly can. Why? Because I truly love the industry. And I like making content. I like making the podcasts and I like making the videos and I like, writing articles and trying to break articles and do all that stuff. And now that I actually saw how it was done on a professional level, I'm going to try to use as much of that as I can to build a brand. And the only thing I got to say about all that stuff is thank God I didn't move my family up there. One, I wasn't a big fan of Tennessee either. And two, I miss them a lot. That's why I got out of trucking and got out of being behind the wheel is because I miss my family being on the road. Now I made it to like Tuesday and I was like, oh, I got to go home because I was tired of being on the road. I was tired of being away from the kids and my wife. So I'm happy. Wayne said you just booked your room. Did you get a hotel or did you get a booth over there? You just walking around? Because I was either thinking about getting a booth or trying to find people to split a booth with or just walking around. I've actually never been to one of those conferences. I've only been to the FreightWaves conferences. So who knows what I'm going to think about this because the FreightWaves conference was awesome. I mean, that's why I decided to go work over there. It was purely because of that conference and how awesome it was. But, there's a lot. This industry is it's a tricky industry, in terms of freight, you have to really pay attention to what you're moving. In terms of people you align yourself with, you have to really just make sure it's the right thing for you personally. Do whatever you can. So if you're asking when's the next show is, that is, oh, there you go. Yeah, Wayne, just PM me your number. I'll give you a ring. Nate, if you're asking the show, I think the next one is Matt's. So, and then there's the one in Texas later on. I don't even know where the hell they are, but I'm going to try to get press pass. Well, they're actually free. So whatever, unless you have a booth, but whatever. It's, it's interesting. You know, I love freight. Hell, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, because I just, I care a lot about the industry, and I want to make sure that the values and the reasons why I work in it are relayed properly. And I want to be able to drop the F-bomb and say fuck or something like that on accident. I'm sorry if I offended anyone out there, but I want to be able to do that, and I don't want to have to buzz it out. I want to be able to make goofy voices and do all that kind of stuff. And when you're working for a big corporation, you got to appease everybody. It wasn't for me. But I got to say something, though. I will still, because I, being an employee there, I saw Sonar for everything it's worth and did the training and all that. I will still heavily rep Sonar to every single person out there, because I do not believe there is a single freight broker out there that should not have a subscription to Sonar. Not at all. I think every single broker should have a subscription, at least someone in your office. You know what I mean? I did watch it. Yeah, but... Well, I'm not, you know, I just like to not see the bad part is now when I make this podcast and distribute it to iTunes and all that, I got to mark it explicit, or maybe I'll beep it out and when I remaster it, probably I'll probably have to just go beep that way. I don't have to mark it, you know, but I love the industry. Let's see. We got, I think it's Collie. I can't really read that for some reason. I could read the question, but not your name, but it's like blurry. You say, would you say it's beneficial to a broker to attend a convention? If so, which ones? So, yes, from a sales perspective, it is. You know, Mats and Gats and all those, they're cool. You can go mingle with brokers and carriers and hand out business cards and do all that stuff for networking. But it's very important for you to go to I forgot what it was, but there was a huge convention right when I went to FreightWave Live in Chicago. There was like a manufacturing or something convention in the same place, and I was so tempted to blow off because I'm a broker, I'm a sales guy, so I was so tempted to blow off FreightWaves and go just hand out business cards in the other one, because it was, those are the people that need it. So if you can get to manufacturing, food, any of those kind of conventions, go to them. If you have expos where they're doing demos and things like that, it doesn't need to. Emmanuel, no, send me a PM. Don't write that in chat. You want to help me break the news, not other people. But no, I don't know anything about that. I'm going to look into it as well. But anyone, if you ever have breaking news and you want it written by someone that doesn't give a, that will honestly write about it from what it is without worrying about, you know, ticking someone off, send me your news stories, and you can send them to live@freightbrokerlive.com. And I will do my best to write an article. Like I said, I'm doing this full time. So I'm going to be advertising. You guys, probably everyone that watches these videos is going to see paid advertising. I'm going to build it up pretty big, because I want to. I love this. And now at being a part of them and seeing how they do it and meeting all the people, there was one, but pretty much everyone else there was awesome. There's only one person I really butted heads with, and I think it's because he was threatened by my greatness. I'm just kidding. I don't know what the deal was, but I'm glad that I was able to leave on that side. Shay said, will I be able to offer a Sonar discount? I remember you talking a little about it. I did the one demo and it was awesome, but really expensive. It is expensive. I don't know anything about pricing. I probably will reach out to them and see if I could do some sort of discount, because I do think it's a little, it's priced pretty heavy. But it's because of all the stuff you're getting inside the software. And once you actually see it and utilize it and then know the plans and how they're trying to expand it, it's literally going to be that thing, that software tech that every single other broker is going to be using, and carrier and shipper. They're all going to be using it because it's such a versatile, I don't know what the hell the word is. It does everything. It literally, you could check weather, you could check parking, you could check shipping volume out of zones and all. It's There's too much stuff. But no, I don't work for Freight Waves anymore. I have nothing to do with Freight Waves. And once I get, you know, the payments and the reimbursements and all that stuff, at that point, I will try to contact them and see what I could work out in terms of seeing the software. And I'm still going to talk about Sonar. I'm still going to talk about the predictive rating tool because I'm a firm believer in it. I was before I went over there. You know, it's just for whatever reason, we're here now. And I'm happy because I'm with my family and all that. So I miss them. I miss being able to be around them. But we got some YouTube. Make sure if you guys are watching this on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe and hit a bell and follow and write a comment about how awesome I am or whatever you want to do. I don't really care. Sam on YouTube asked, how do I transform from dispatcher of your company to broker? Or how did I transform? Did you bring your own clients? How many broker companies have you been with? So I didn't transform from a dispatcher to a broker. I was a carrier and I had my own fleet. And then I started getting overflow freight for that I couldn't handle on my trucks. So I started brokering it out, then started doing all the process of actually realizing I needed to be licensed to do that. This is 10, 15 years ago. I'm self-taught in the industry. I've taken classes since working in it, but they were all garbage because I already knew this stuff. But I learned the industry myself. So when I started a trucking company, I'm a sales guy. So I was out there beating up doors and knocking on doors and saying, hey, give me all the freight you can handle. And they were just giving it to me. Could I bring it to Miami? Sure. Could I go to California? Sure. Could I bring it to Montreal? Sure. I didn't go to any of those places. So I needed to expand my horizon. I ended up becoming a freight forwarder at that point because this is before MAP 21. It was just an easier process and a quicker process. So I ended up doing that and then brokering freight that way. And then I was approached by a large company and I became an agent for them and they essentially purchased my book of business. But I've always liked the carrier side a little bit more than I like the broker side, to be honest. Being a broker, I make more money with much less of an effort just because of the way that I've done it and I've trained myself on it. As a carrier and as a fleet owner, In total, I made more money, way more money. But the problem is if when you blow a turbo, you know, you're out $1,200. There's nothing on my desk right now, which is my home office. I've got computers over here. I've got this computer. I've got the cameras and there's nothing in this room except the tables and the desks that cost $1,200. You know, I don't have that expense as a broker. But I get burned out. I get burned out of stuff a lot. So I got burnt out of being a broker and I switched back to just jumping in a truck myself after my first child was born. And I was hauling freight around and then I had to get out of the truck again because my wife was yelling at me. So I started another brokerage and kept the trucking side up. And that time the trucking, I blew up. I wasn't smart. I added too many trucks too quick. Every single dime that I made, I just reinvested and bought another truck. And we went from one truck to 22 trucks, including two owner operators in 9 months. And I had a couple of insurance claims and, you know, I had a driver because everything falls apart very quickly. When you don't take the time to actually do things the right way, everything falls apart. So I didn't take the time to save money and I didn't take the time to pre-qual drivers. If they could drive the truck, then that's fine. But and usually I had them drive around our complex. If they're good, boom, I'd send them on the road. Not the way to hire anybody. You know, I had one driver fall asleep and roll a rental truck. So that was a huge claim. I had another driver make a left turn up Fifth Avenue in Paterson, New Jersey, and run over the hood of a pregnant lady's minivan. So, of course, that was a massive claim as well. And then I had a truck stolen. And those three claims were within 20 days of each other. And that was it. The insurance dropped me. And I said, okay, if I was smart at that time, I would have had money saved, but because I was just in rapid growth and expanding every bit or spending every bit of money I made into the company, when I had the claims, I couldn't do anything. Just went belly up. So, you know, and I fought it. Like, I didn't actually go belly up for a long time. I paid everybody. I tried to, I gave two of the drivers trucks, actually gave them Sterling L8500 single axle day cabs in lieu of pay. I did everything I possibly could to pay back everybody, vendors, drivers, everybody. And then it just got too much just because of one big company that I was an agent for that came after me for bad debt. Because that's the thing too, in terms of being an agent, you don't want any bad debt. If anyone has a bad debt reserve or something, run away from it. And that's my opinion. But once I ended that, I actually got out of trucking for a couple of years, became a firefighter, did that for a little bit. And then as a side job, while I was a firefighter, I started being an agent again for Landstar and built an agent network under Landstar. And then someone asked me, I think one of the guys that called or something, he asked me to start dispatching him, offered to pay me. I realized how easy that was to do because I've lived and, you know, breathed logistics forever. And that's how I started the dispatch company. And then I had the dispatch company until freight was bad. And then I got rid of the dispatch company and then came back over to brokering. I'll never own trucks again. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at owning trucks. The couple of times that I did, I either had to, you know, I've learned now, so I'll exit before I lose my ass too bad. But yeah, I'll never own trucks again. Not maybe, I take that back. When I'm retired and all that stuff, and my wife and I can jump in a truck and travel and see the world. But by then, when that happens, we'll get in a truck, we'll press a button, we'll just go watch movies in the back while the truck drives itself, right? Because that's the automated trucks and all that. I don't know. But that's my story about logistics and how I got involved in it. You know, you love to hate it. I love it when it's good. I hate it when everyone else hates it. You know, I hate reading about all the drivers that are getting killed by either getting shot or stabbed or the truck accidents. I hate watching the videos about drivers that just can't drive or shouldn't drive trucks and they're getting in accidents or they're killing people. And now there's a second driver charged for distracting drivers, distracted driving, because he looked down to light a cigarette and he ended up plowing into a car and killing two people. And they're charging him now with negligent homicide, just like they charged the other guy that killed the two young ladies and the 1 year old, because from what they said, he was setting down his coffee. And all the traffic was stopped and he didn't see it. He just looked down to set his traffic and he hit him doing like 70 miles an hour and he wrecked 10 cars. And then right before that, you got the bus driver on the 3rd of January in Jersey in Pennsylvania that passed a FedEx truck and was just driving like an idiot. And then he ended up rolling the truck and then getting smacked by the UPS truck and killed both of them and then hit by the FedEx truck. Sad, man. There's some people that don't deserve to be on the road. And then there's other people that just don't want to be on the road anymore. I tell you, I white knuckle when I'm on the road. When I'm driving now, I used to just sit and drive and not be worried about it. And there's too much, you know, there's bad accidents, just bad drivers. Yeah, and it's not just, you know, trucks. It's not anyone. And with all the regulations and everything with trucking, who wants to get involved in it? I mean, they say we have this driver shortage, which if you've watched my videos before, you know that I don't believe in the driver shortage. You know, it's just sad. We got to make trucking great again. Yeah, can't talk. We got to do something to try to make this shit better, make it a better industry again. You know, let's have transparency between brokers. If anyone doesn't understand what I mean by that, so me as a broker, I'm a volume broker. So I work at very low margins. It allows me to pay the carrier a little bit more and still undercut all the other brokers. Now, am I by default undercutting carriers that are out there direct bidding freight? Absolutely. But the carrier is trying to make more money by increasing their bottom line. I had one guy that contacted me after the last video that I did for Freight Waves when I was part of them. And they said, when I went through my rates, because how I get my rates, I use DAT, I use truck stop, I use previous lane data, I get an average and boom, spit out, that's my carrier rate. This guy's like, you didn't take an effect, detention, fuel cost, seat time, this, that. This. And I said, why would I? I didn't say it because I couldn't say it because it was, I wasn't allowed to. So, but I wanted to be like, why would I? I'm a broker. If I can get someone to haul it for $2 a mile, guess what? I'm going to run it for $2 a mile. If everyone holds off and says, hey, I need $2.50 to move the mile or move that truck or move that load, whatever, I'm going to say, okay, I'll pay that. If I can't find anyone for $2 a mile. But this guy's like, you don't take costs into effect and operating costs, diesel and maintenance. And why would I? I'm a broker. It's not my job to understand. It's your job. So if I'm offering $2 a mile and you come out and your operating expenses are $2.24, don't take a load that's paying $2 a mile. Hold off or man up and say, hey, can you pay, you know, $2.24 a mile? Because I can't do it for two because I'll lose money. That's how rates change. So as carriers sit there and go, I can't haul for that cheap. Literally, I just can't do it. Because at that point, it's only covering fuel and I'm losing money by running my truck. When drivers hold off, rates come up. It's supply and demand. Kind of basic. I know a lot of you are probably like, wait, what? What? That's a novel concept. But that's what it is. All right. What else we got? Sam said, I've been trying to dig into broker side as a carrier. Do you still actively go out and find shippers or ever get referred? No, I mean, I don't have to anymore to go after new business because I have decent business. I have a decent shipper network. But if I ever needed to, yeah, I'd just go knock on doors. The type of business I do are the larger accounts. It's volume. So I'm moving a lot of freight and that's not something you're going to get just purely by knocking on a door. It's going to take a while to nurture that business to be able to get it all. But then again, when rates are low, shippers see the rates are low. So we haven't really moved a lot of that big client lately because they also see the rates are dirt cheap. So they lowered all their rates. And so now we're kind of just like picking at the ones we can cover and trying to get it moved. But in terms of prospecting and stuff, yeah, you got to go knock on doors. You got to beat up the phones. You got to do all that stuff. So in terms of programming announcements and things like that, because we have more viewers, so I'm going to talk about what Freight Broker Live. Let me try to move this shit. I'm going to talk about what Freight Broker Live is going to be. So this weekend, I'm going to update the website. So I'm still going to do news content. I'm going to publish all my podcasts and put them on a repeat. So it's going to play like a 24-hour radio station. We're going to have some ads put in there for some of our new sponsors and stuff as we go on. If you're a trucking company or you're anything like that and you want to advertise on my site, give me a call. Or you want to just free advertise, or you want to, Wayne, if you want to write an article or do anything to try to grow, I want to grow. So I want to work with as many people as I can. The one thing I'm not going to do, unless it's out there, I'm not going to out anybody like I used to do. And I used to get critical of certain people because of the way they do business or scams or stuff like that. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to focus more on news and training and trying to help people get better at what they do. I'm not going to try to do any of the other stuff. I've been fortunate enough to land some sponsorships, so I don't need to do paid anything because it's all been paid. So the website is going to be updated this weekend, so it'll reflect some of the new stuff I said. Like I said, I'm going to be doing a job board. I'm going to be doing a job board for, I don't know if you guys were hearing that, because I'm sorry if you were, but I'm going to do a job board just for freight broker positions, and freight agents and things like that. I'm not going to have it for trucks or anything like that. I don't need it. That's too much. I'm going to be the podcast will be on a 24-hour, like radio show. All my videos, same thing. I'm just going to have them on a 24-hour cycle. I'm not going to be blasting social media for it. You could just go to the website, or you can go to Roku, or you can go to the Amazon Fire Stick, and you'll be able to download it there. I did have an app fully built anyway before I went to FreightWaves. So hopefully if I could finish coding that, I'll have that up too. I've got a lot of interesting things, you know, that are going on. All right, what's it? Microlithic said, "Hey, look who's home." Yeah, you're going to want to watch this video from the front, and or from the beginning of this video, because this, where I am now, is going to be pretty much the same for a very long time until I hire other people and have to go get an office again. But it's not going to be a long time. All right. Sam said, "Do I have trouble brokering out 43, 44K weight?" No. For what? For drive? No. Not for anything. Not for drive in, not for flat. As long as I could fit it, I could ship it. Lena Johnson said, "Hi, I'm new here. I want to ask, is it wise to do dispatch before freight brokering?" Yeah. I would say if you're going to do it without the experience, then yeah, dispatch. And yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer in education. So if you can't get seat time, the best way for anyone to understand the industry is to go drive a truck, 100%, because it's going to teach you about rates. It's going to teach you about operating. It's going to teach you how many miles you could drive. It's going to teach you about load securement and you know, safety and maintenance and weather conditions. It's going to teach you the fundamentals that you're going to need to learn anyway. Plus, you're going to understand how crappy it is sometimes to be a driver. And so maybe you'll be able to use some of that input and become a better broker. That's my thoughts behind it. And that's why I recommend everybody do it. If you can't go out on the truck because you got kids or you got whatever and you can't do it, or you don't have the money for the school, then if you don't have the money to go to trucker school then or CDL school, then you certainly don't have the money to become a broker. But you can either go work, you know, find employment as a freight broker somewhere, or go work for a trucking company, and then you'll start to get the understanding and you'll start to get how it goes. Starting green straight up, and it's not, you're not going to know what you're doing. So I wouldn't necessarily do that. That's my opinion. You know, if you have some experience and you've been doing this for a minute and you want to start dispatching to save money to become a broker, sure. As long as you're going to do your job right, and you eventually need to get your broker bond before, you know, FMCSA cracks down and starts going after all the brokers or all the dispatchers who do not have brokers. And just be honest and don't charge 10% to dispatch. 4% is too much, depending on, you know, what the rate is. But that's my opinion. You know, my opinions are like a-holes. Everyone's got one. But I think mine's like an educated a-hole because I've been doing it for 15 years. Toe Piglet, what's up, buddy? Yep, so I'm back. I'm back doing it the way that I want to. I have no ill will towards FreightWaves or anyone there. Matter of fact, I like them, and I'm super happy that I was able to get the experience that I did and see how I want to expand my brand and keep going. And if anyone out there on the road ever has a breaking news story, or you want have a question, or you're interested in something I talk about and you want to talk about it further, or you want to participate in a live one-on-one, whatever you want to do, my email is live@freightbrokerlive.com. Send me an email. I try to answer as many as I can. if you are on iTunes or you're on Google Play or you listen to podcasts anywhere, please go and download my podcast, like right now. Well, after the video's done, go download all my podcasts. The image is going to switch because that one still says FreightWaves because I uploaded it and then blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to have to change the cover image on my podcast. But it's called Freight Broker Live, so you can't miss it. I think there's 25 episodes of Freight Broker Live up right now. I'll have this one, which will be up later tonight. Plus, I have two others for my new Freight's Heavy Hitters, which is going to be a Freight Broker Live and then a sub episode, I guess. Let me see. Sam said, I remember some time ago you were going to host a show on Saturday. Unfortunately, I missed that. Do you have a link to watch? I'm more interested in the agreement contract part of that explains how it's done. You can go on YouTube. If you're talking about the big 7-hour, you know, marathon, how to operate a trucking company thing that I did, it's on YouTube. And you can find it. But I don't know what else that is. But just, guys, here's two things. What you can all like my video if you like the video. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, subscribe, follow, hit the bell, do whatever you do on YouTube so I could try to figure out how to get some more views, more than 200 views on a video. Because I can't figure out how YouTube ranks that, to be honest. Because one video will have 200 views. One video has 1,100 views. I don't understand it. But make sure you follow on, make sure you follow the page and sign up for our newsletters through Freight Broker Live. Make sure you like and follow us on Facebook and social media and LinkedIn and all that good stuff. There's some big things coming in the future, and no one's going to be able to stop me because I'm by myself now. I am the boss. I'm the captain of this ship. I don't know what that was. It was a rowing a boat, but whatever. I just realized how funny it looked on the monitor. All right. All right. Let me read some more comments, then I'm going to end this thing because I got to go do back at the gym. So, and I got to do it before my wife gets home because she's going to be pissed if I go back to the gym. So Sam said, unfortunately, don't know what that means. Nate on YouTube, which he was also on Facebook before. Big follower. He said, did I ever consider being a customs broker? Yeah, I did. I just never got around to it. You got to take tests and licenses and all that stuff. And I just didn't care. It's not something I wanted to venture into. Any custom stuff that I've ever had to move has always kind of been a disaster anyway. And it wasn't a disaster on my end. It was a disaster for the customs broker. So I don't really want to mess with that. But yeah, if you guys... So my regularly scheduled programs, and to be honest, I may switch the times up a little bit because as much as I don't want to compete with other shows, there's still like the What the Truck, the Freight Waves What the Truck show is on Mondays at 2 and Fridays at 2. So I think I'm competing against them now. I don't want to. It's not. I think they have some good input in their shows. So I may stagger those 2 days and start at 1 o'clock instead, just because I think that's a good show for you to watch. Again, I have no affiliation whatsoever with Freight Waves now. But if they put out good content, my goal in making these shows and making this content is to try to provide an education and try to get you guys as much information as you can. And I think that show has some information. You know, so I don't want to compete against it. I don't want to steal its views, and I don't want to lose views because that's on. So on Monday and Friday, if I do live shows those days, they'll be at 1 o'clock. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to have different shows released at different times. This is it. I'm doing this full time, guys. So I'm not going to have the Patreon back open. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just doing straight advertising. So if you have a trucking company, if you're watching this and you got a company and you want to advertise on Freight Broker Live when it's fixed, or you want to sponsor the show or something like that, give me a shout, send me an email or something. But this is going to be just free until I run out of money and have to go work for someone else again. But that's it. All right, guys, I'm going to end this show and I'm going to play this song again. If I can get this damn mouse to work today, I don't understand why I can't get it to work. Oh, boy.